Yeah. asmat pitu pitu.
Of the great king.
Priyavratasya.
Priyavrata.
Of Priyavrata. Rajashe.
Rajashe.
Of great saintly kings.
Of great saintly kings.
Angasya.
Angasya.
Of the name Anga. Asmat. My. Pitu.
Pitu.
Of my father.
Of my father.
Pitu.
Pitu.
Of the father.
Of the father.
Translation is confirmed not only by the evidence of the Vedas, but also by the personal behavior of great personalities like Manu, Uttanapada, Dhruva, Priyavrata, and my grandfather, Anga, as well as by many other great personalities and ordinary living entities, exemplified by Maharaj, Prahlad, and Bali, all of whom are theists, believing in the existence of the Supreme Personality of God who carries a cup. Report. Narottam Das Thakur states that one has to ascertain the right path for his activity by following in the footsteps of great saintly personalities and books of knowledge under the guidance of the spiritual master. A saintly person is one who follows the Vedic injunctions, which are the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word guru refers to one who gives proper direction under the authority of the Vedic injunctions and according to the examples of the lives of great personalities. The best way to mold one's life is to follow in the footsteps of the authorized personalities like those mentioned herein by Prithu Maharaj, beginning with Swayam Guru Manu. The safest path in life is to follow such great personalities, especially those mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Mahajanas, the great personalities, are Brahma, Lord Shiva, Narada, Manu, Kumaras, Prahlad Maharaj, Bali Maharaj, Yamaraj, Vishnu, Janaka, Sukadeva, Gokswami, and Kapila Muni. Translation is confirmed not only, this is confirmed not only by the evidence of the Vedas, but also by the personal behavior of great personalities like Manu, Uttanapada, Dhruva, Priyavrata, and my own grandfather, Anga, as well as by many other great personalities and ordinary living entities, exemplified by Maharaj, Prahlad, and Bali, all of whom are theists, believing in the existence of the Supreme Personality of God who carries a club. So, this is another confirmation. The previous verses were spoken to get the approval of everyone for the Prithu Maharaj had instructed, that he was going to institute certain principles, and he wanted the mercy of all concerned. So now he's saying this is not only the scriptural conclusion, it's also the conclusion of the great personalities in the past. So he's taking two supports, one in scripture, and the other is persons, that we can confirm something by these two means. So we often say sadhu, shastra, and guru. So if one is going to make a statement, it should be supported furthermore by the sadhus or other previous acharyas and by scripture. So we can't just take scripture itself, we should take it in conjunction with the past devotees. So, in other words, scripture has to come in a certain line of authority. And these are the sadhus or the acharyas. So that is why we emphasize a parampara system. If things are not according to sadhu and shastra, then we have to question it. The reason we have such a system is because sometimes we may not understand what the shastra means, so we may come up with our own conclusion. So, how is it right or wrong? We don't know. Therefore, we have to go to the acharyas and we'll see, oh, this is right or this is wrong. And if it's, we'll have to take the sadhu's meaning also. This is true of all shastras, because shastra does not always speak directly. So we can always misinterpret the shastras. So for instance, some people will say, not in present day probably, but in previous ages, some people, followers of Jaimini, said that karma kanda is the essence of the Vedas. Therefore, the goal is to go to Svargaloka and to do sacrifice of the devatas. And we don't have to worry about worshipping Vishnu or anything else. This is all useless. We should just go to Svargaloka. This is the goal of life. And so, because they only accepted the Kama Mimamsa section of the Vedas, that is the section dealing with karma, such as the Aranyakas, etc., Brahmanas and Aranyakas, they followed the system, but they did not read the other things like Upanishads, etc., which condemn karma and say it is inferior. But if one accepts these persons, then one will say, oh, this is supreme, because their theory is correct. Others, however, will contradict that. So we cannot always take scripture literally and isolate it by itself. So we have to take scripture as a whole. And if we do so, then we see that karma is only a means to an end and it's not the end in itself. So, in this way, we cannot always depend simply on scripture and come to a conclusion, because something may be contradicted in other scriptures. So how are we going to know? So, the acharyas, therefore, go through everything and they come out with a conclusion for us. And to do that on our own would be very difficult. So they give us the summary of everything, and of course, if we want, then we can investigate, or we can simply accept that conclusion. So, in this way, we also depend on previous authorities to get the meaning of the scripture, not simply on the scripture itself. Some scriptures speak more indirectly than others, some speak in terms of exaggeration, etc. So we have to understand things properly. In this way, actually, the Gaudiya Sampradaya takes the Srimad Bhagavatam as the ultimate scripture. Though there are Vedas and Upanishads and Mahabharata, Ramayana and Puranas and Smriti Shastras like Manusmriti, etc. Generally we find that the people in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, these devotees, they don't study these scriptures so much. The main object is, of study is Bhagavatam. Because Bhagavatam represents the essence of the Brahma Sutras, the essence of the Vedas, the essence of the Mahabharata, the essence of everything. So therefore, the conclusion that's in here should be accepted. Even then, it's difficult for some people to understand, because Bhagavatam, though it is the conclusion, says many things. It glorifies Karma Yoga, it glorifies Jnana Yoga, it glorifies Sangha Yoga, and glorifies Bhakti Yoga. So then we may think, let us follow any of these processes because Bhagavatam is the supreme scripture and it's glorifying Karma Yoga, so let us follow Karma Yoga. So, again, we'll fall into confusion if we don't see the conclusion. So with the help of the acharyas, we come up with the proper conclusion. If we read carefully, then we'll understand that ultimately karma, jnana, and Astanga Yoga are rejected. And only bhakti is presented in the Bhagavatam. Even though they're there, and they're, some chapters are dedicated to glorifying them, still, ultimately, they get rejected. If we read very carefully, we'll see that. So the acharyas give us the proper meaning of the scriptures. So we cannot simply take the scripture, we also have to take the authorities. And in this way, we come out with the proper conclusion. So this is the general process that we follow for scripture. So here we find that Prithu Maharaj is saying this also. In the previous verse, he glorified the scriptures. And now here in this verse, he's glorifying the devotees of the Lord. So whatever he wants to institute, he wants the approval of the people, but he's saying, yes, it is also in the scripture. The scripture is saying this, the Supreme Lord is there, and we have to offer our activities to him. And furthermore, Manu and all the descendants from Swayambhuva Manu, like Dhruva and Priyavrata and Anga, they also follow this system. So by their activities, they illustrated the conclusions of the scripture. What do? They dedicated their activities to the Supreme Lord. So, therefore, this confirms whatever is said in the scripture. These personalities follow the scripture, and they are testimony to the truth of the scripture. So similar to that, of course, is the acharyas, who, not by conduct so much as by their statements, explain the meaning of the scripture so that we get the proper meaning and not the improper meaning. Of course, we'll find that even in those days there will be people who followed a different system. Some people glorified karma, so therefore they had acharyas in their line who would glorify karma, and they will have their lines and see the previous acharyas in our line have been doing karma yoga all the time, not worshipping the Supreme Lord. But we have to discern what is the actual truth. So with the acharyas we can see which is the proper method to follow and which is the proper conclusion. Not some mistaken conclusion. So there are many mistakes. Kamimamsa is one error. We have Sankhya, we have Nyaya, we have Patanjali's Yoga, Vaisheshika philosophy. They're all considered to be false, ultimately. They do not glorify the Supreme Lord. So ultimately, even though they're highly philosophical, nevertheless, the conclusion is ultimately wrong. Even though they follow the Vedas, they accept the Vedas. So, simply following the Vedas is not enough. We have to discern the actual truth there. So that requires great personalities who will have proper conduct, like the Manus and descendants, or acharyas who will give us the proper meaning of the scriptures. And then we will have proper conclusion. So therefore, scripture cannot stand on its own. It needs the a person to give us the proper meaning. So we have the line of acharyas. Then we have, sadhu and shastra, acharyas and scripture. And then we have guru. So then we have a person who can, at the present time, explain it to us. So theoretically, we may say, well, I go to the scripture, but I can't understand it. Therefore, we go to the commentaries of the acharyas and we try to understand that. So maybe that's enough. But scripture doesn't say that also. It says you have to have guru. So not just sadhu and shastra, you also have to have guru. So this means a person actually explains it, teaches it. An actual person teaches it. So what is the reason for that? Even the commentaries, with the commentaries and the scriptures, there's some incompleteness. We do not always get the proper meaning even with the commentaries, etc. So we need the personal experience of an authority. So therefore we have sadhu, shastra, and guru. So in this way we come up with a proper meaning. So this is the system propounded in the scriptures itself to come out with the proper meaning of the scriptures and consequently the proper action we should do, proper conduct. So even these personalities here, such as Bali and Prahlad and Manu, etc., they were acting as authorities, but they referred to previous authorities. So they referred to Sadhu and Shastra also. So because of this, we end up with a parampara system. Previous authorities, and previous authorities, and previous authorities, and scripture. So then we have the parampara system coming out of this. Therefore, the Bhagavatam is there as the final authority, and then the Gaudiya Sampradaya has many commentators on the Bhagavatam to come up with the proper meaning. And combined with the person speaking, then we will have the proper meaning of everything. But if we don't follow the system, we will tend to have some sort of mistakes or errors in our in meaning that we get. So this is a method of guaranteeing correct meaning. Why we need correct meaning? If we don't have the correct meaning, then we can have philosophical error. If we have philosophical error, then we cannot advance properly. We have the wrong conclusions, we cannot perform bhakti properly. Okay? So even though we accept bhakti, if our philosophy is wrong, then we don't get the right result. We get a wrong result. So all this knowledge is, the correct knowledge is necessary for the correct action, the correct bhakti, performance of bhakti. So that is the relationship of the scripture to our practice. We need that knowledge for correct practice. And that the correct knowledge comes through that parampara system. Shastra plus the devotees and the acharyas. For instance, Shankaracharya will come up with a different meaning. Different meaning to Bhagavad Gita, etc. So we have to very carefully see the meaning. That is a little difficult because then we have to establish rules of interpretation of meaning. How to get a meaning of something has certain rules. So there are complex rules for that. If we don't know the rules, someone can trick you and come up with the wrong conclusion and be accepted. So that is why Prabhupada sometimes says Shankaracharya uses word jugglery. So he uses logic to establish his point. But somewhere in that there may be an error. And therefore, we come up with the wrong conclusion. But we are not aware of the error. So we are impressed. Ah, very logical. Yes, I accept this conclusion. Whereas the Vaishnavacharya will come up with a different conclusion. So, based on differing logic, then he will show the fault of Shankaracharya's logic. So, it becomes rather complex. We have to know logic, interpretation, so many other things in order to come up with proper meaning. So that is the duty of the acharyas, to very consistently come up with proper conclusions. Yeah, he says that, but then of course he has Stotra Sudurga Devi and Shiva and so many others also. So he has feet praises Durga Devi, he has a whole Stotra of Durga Devi also, he has another one to Shiva, he has so many different things he wrote. So explain 4 lakhs of species of human forms of life. Well, the fifth canto describes that various places with the different varshas on this Bhumandala, and then there's different dvipas. But we are confined to one little area, Bharat Varsha. We don't see the other varshas, Kim Purusha Varsha, and Kuru Varsha and Hari Varsha. We don't see all these different places. We don't even see Mount Meru, which is on our Dvipa, Jambudvipa. Plus there's other Dvipas. so many other dvipas there with oceans in between. And there's people in all these places. We don't see them. And then there's people below in Atala and Sutala and Talatala and Patala. There are personalities in Bhuvarloka and Swargaloka and Maharloka and Janaloka and Tapaloka and Brahmaloka. All different types of bodies. So we don't know who these people are because we never see them. Nevertheless, they're there. And why he said that? Well, of course, if you get an interpretation from them, they'll have a different meaning to that. And of course, we will see that some would say Govinda was his guru. It was not the name of Supreme Lord, his guru. Now, ultimately, in his philosophy, Govinda is, if you say Krishna, Krishna is a Satvagun avatar, only in Satvagun. So forms of the Lord are only aspects of Maya also. But they're helpful to us to get us out of lower gunas. So we can have many interpretations of that in terms of what he says. Yeah, so Shankaracharya followed the Vedas, but then he established a new philosophy. A new philosophy which rejected karma and mamsa and also was contrary to Vedanta. Well, the reason we say it's more dangerous is because it purports to follow the Vedas. So then we'll think that's the Vedic conclusion. So we're followers of the Vedas, then we won't accept Buddhism, but then we'll follow Shankaracharya because it follows the Vedas. So the danger is to think like that, when actually that is not the conclusion. Just as Sankhya and Nyaya and Karma Mimamsa and Patanjali Yoga are not the conclusion also.
Mantrasya Shikumal Bhagavan
Jai
Jalas Namahanti
Jai
Vrindya Siddhi Kachan Sankhya
Bhagavati
Jai Tadvokta Manandhi
something they can able to call ordinary, not ordinary.